I'd like to thank Dr. Quinn for putting together this really fascinating set of presentations, and to Dr. Ford for introducing me to the nuances of critical race practice, which in retrospect would have been helpful when we designed the study. And I also wanted to ask if you guys know that Sesame Street thing, one of these things is not like the other. I'm that thing. My background is as a radiologist, so I come from a biological perspective of disease and understanding how we can use these health encounters as ways to reach out to individuals to get them to improve health behavior. I've been fortunate to work with a lot of really gifted people in this area, and I would like to acknowledge them and their thoughts as we put together this work. So to provide a clinical context, cervical cancer risk, the rates of cervical carcinoma in situ have risen fastest in 15 to 20-year-old females, and 32% higher incidence and a later cancer diagnosis stage among black women with twice the rate of cervical mortality. So it's really, really important because HPV vaccination in adolescents is an effective and efficient prevention for cervical carcinoma in situ. So the goal really is to routinely vaccinate every 11 and 12-year-old out there. Healthy People 2020 targets 80% coverage of HPV 3-dose vaccination among 11 and 12-year-olds is the target population the CDC recommends routine vaccination. Clearly, we need novel strategies for reaching out to the target population. As you may know, adolescents see physicians the least frequently out of all the age groups. They tend to come for wellness visits as part of their school visits, or they come because they break a leg. So that started us thinking about different ways to use cancer screening encounters as teachable moments. For example, we had previously looked at the use of screening mammography as a teachable moment to improve colon cancer screening among women who already engage in one form of cancer control behavior. The question arose then is if we thought of the unit of treatment not as the person but rather the family, particularly since mothers tend to make 80% of the medical decisions for a family unit, is there a way to use maternal breast and cervical cancer screening encounters among mothers who already take part in their own cancer control behaviors to improve vaccination in their adolescent daughters? So in order for us to pursue that line of questioning, there are still some healthcare delivery questions that we needed to understand. Do the women who undergo screening mammography and cervical cancer screening by Pap smear actually have adolescent daughters who are eligible for HPV vaccination? What are baseline HPV vaccination utilizations in this population, and what are some of the maternal attitudes and cultural differences that are associated with HPV vaccine use? We looked at two medical centers trying to maximize the difference between the two as we tried to tease apart some of the attitudes and behaviors of vaccination. We looked at the University of Chicago Medical Center. It's an urban inner city population in the south side of Chicago. 32% white, 54% black, 4% Hispanic and Latino. About half had public insurance, either Medicare or Medicaid, and half had commercial insurance. Contrasted with the University of Michigan Health System, a suburban and ex-urban population in southeast Michigan, overwhelmingly white, and three-quarters had commercial insurance compared to the University of Chicago. We looked at the population of women, 25 to 55-year-olds, women who we thought would have daughters in the appropriate age range undergoing cancer screening between December 2007 and November 2008. And we identified these women based on most recent breast and cervical cancer screening behavior using CPT billing code. So these are women who had actually undergone the procedure at each of these centers. We were able to identify over 8,000 women at the University of Chicago and over 31,000 women at the University of Michigan who fit these criteria. And we drew a random sample of 2,000 women from Chicago and 1,000 women from Michigan to oversample a primarily African-American community. 900 surveys were returned. Approximately 120 mothers with adolescent daughters from the University of Chicago and 114 mothers from the University of Michigan. In terms of demographics, as you would expect, there is a difference based on the underlying population, and the population who responded to our survey mirror the underlying population from which they were drawn. Their children, the average age of the adolescent daughter within the house, the oldest adolescent daughter within the household, is approximately 13 years old, well within the age group for which the CDC recommends vaccination. The healthcare coverage also mirrored the range of health insurances available at that institution, which is important because there are different mechanisms for paying for the vaccine depending on insurance coverage. So we started to look at what are some of the maternal attitudes that might influence the willingness to have their daughter vaccinated or her daughter vaccinated. Safety concerns was the largest concern. Then we looked at perceived susceptibility to HPV, as well as the perception that the vaccine both had benefits and had drawbacks. There were also concerns in the literature at that time about the potential impact on their daughter's sexual behavior, so we wanted to look at that as a perceived value that might prevent or enhance the uptake of HPV vaccination among their daughters. Also, we queried the belief that their adolescent daughter had autonomy over her own health and health care, as well as asking them about whether or not their peer group would approve or disapprove of vaccinating his or her daughter. The concept being there is a herd immunity conferred by having a large proportion of your child's cohort vaccinated. That's how the child itself is vaccinated, because they're unlikely to get the virus if other children are vaccinated. Very similar to the work that you've demonstrated in influenza and pandemics, your ability or likelihood of catching the vaccine. And here we found that among African-American mothers and non-African-American mothers, the primary difference, and the difference was quite small, was in the perception of vaccine benefits. Otherwise, there were no racial differences that we were able to uncover using these sets of questions. The blue box, again, just highlights the small difference between the perception of vaccine benefits between black mothers and non-black mothers. Then we move to an understanding of HPV, the consequences of HPV, and the benefits of vaccinations. And this is where the differences were much larger. In terms of the percent of questions answered correctly, there was a lag among African-American mothers compared to non-African-American mothers. And you can see the ones that are starred are the knowledge questions for which there are significant differences between these two groups. These questions are: genital warts are caused by HPV. People who have been infected with HPV might not have symptoms. HPV infections can cause abnormal pap smears and cervical cancer. HPV is a sexually transmitted disease. And HPV infection makes you unable to have children. Then we looked at individual items that we thought would also predispose toward vaccination or predispose toward non-uptake of vaccination. And these are the ones that in univariate analyses did correspond to a decrease in HPV vaccination uptake, and we tried to see if there were differences between African American mothers and non-African American mothers regarding these individual items. And in fact, none of these items, except for one, were different among African American mothers and non-African American mothers. And that one item that was different between the two is a perception that her daughter's medical provider recommends the vaccine against HPV. And I think that that's an interesting difference, and possibly maybe related to either access to care, the circumstances under which care is sought. It might be a more acute visit, or it might be the facilities in which care is sought, and there might not be enough time to address all the range of preventive services that need to be addressed within a single visit. Again, we're back to an issue of access to care, potentially compounding the effects of infection. So what was the underlying vaccine used in this population? So across both sites, about 20% of adolescents completed HPV vaccination, and vaccine completion is defined as use of all three vaccine doses within a 12-month period. 32% of 13 to 17-year-olds completed vaccination, and we looked at this population specifically because the National Immunization Survey looks at 13 to 17-year-olds, comparing the unfortunately, the National Immunization Survey does not look at 11 to 12-year-olds, which is the population for which the CDC recommends recommends routine vaccination. More than 40% of 13 to 17-year-olds initiated vaccine, which meant received at least one vaccine dose. And when we looked at vaccinations by site, there was a difference between completion at the urban site versus the suburban site, but not initiation, which is interesting. And there is also a difference between HPV vaccinations in the adolescent daughters by maternal race, with non-African American mothers more likely to vaccinate their daughters, either start vaccination or complete vaccination. And again, this might be multifactorial. Looking at age, the critical group is the ages 11 to 12. None of the African American mothers surveyed had their daughters in this age group vaccinated, although that number increased, as would be expected, similar to the other groups. So we looked at the correlates of HPV vaccination, and here race was associated with lower uptake, but household income and a history of maternal cervical problems. We also looked at a history of maternal cervical problems, and we found that across both maternal races, this had a slight impact on initiation, but not on completion. Then we looked at the daughter's demographics, and it's interesting that a daughter who is 12 or under was least likely to be vaccinated. What's interesting about this is, as I've mentioned already, this is the age group for which the CDC would like us to target vaccinations. Then we looked at the attitudinal scales, and here there were three that were significantly associated with decreased uptake of vaccination or increased uptake of vaccination. So a perception that the vaccine was not safe, or a perception that her daughter was too young to be vaccinated regardless of age. And we've had mothers who endorsed this statement even though their daughters were 17 years old, were less likely to vaccinate their daughters. However, a belief that their medical provider recommends the vaccine increased, almost doubled, the likelihood that their daughter will be vaccinated. None of the associations between vaccine uptake and maternal attitudinal variables were moderated by race. And what this suggests is that these attitudes, at least the way we ask them, were not culturally determined. And that had implications for the types of intervention that we would want to put into place within the context of a healthcare system. Okay. So clearly, in terms of addressing disparities in HPV vaccinations, there are differences in levels of knowledge about the vaccine and about the virus, and there's a difference in perception about a medical provider recommendation. Despite low rates of HPV vaccination, if we focused on the 13 to 17-year-olds in our population, for which we have external data to compare, HPV vaccination frequency was higher in our population than that reported in the National Immunization Survey in the same time period. So what does this suggest? This suggests that mothers who engage in their own cancer control behavior may be more concerned that their daughter's cancer risk about their daughter's cancer risk compared to the general population, which has implications for the use of maternal screening encounters as teachable moments to improve adolescent HPV vaccination. Thank you.